When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike Lisk, a.k.a. AP Mike. Unfortunately, I'm here this week to make a sad announcement. Tom's father passed away this past weekend, rather suddenly. And so he's not with us this week, and he's attending to that. And our thoughts and prayers go out to Tom and his family as they deal with this difficult time in their lives. But he asked us to, rather than have no show at all this week, he did ask us to come in, and so I'm here with the best show, Behind the Scenes crew, and we're going to play some clips, you know, and, you know, keep the spirit of the show alive this week. Please stay with us. There will be some laughs going forward, but, you know, Tom wanted us to just make this announcement so that everybody would know what happened. So without further ado, I'm going to play some music. Hello, everybody. That was Mr. and Mrs. Paychecks, brand new rockin' theme for the best show. So yes, we're filling in for Tom this week, we're gonna play some clips. We're not gonna take any calls tonight. This is just we're gonna try and carry on in the spirit of the show while Tom takes some time off, and that's what it's gonna be. We're going to introduce the first clip now. Pat is here. Pat Byrne is here with us tonight. And he wants to introduce this clip.
Thanks, Mike. I'm here also with Jason Gore and Brendan McDonald. Just here for Tom. His father, unfortunately, passed away over the weekend. And if you're just joining us, he is not here tonight. He's with his family, and he's asked us to air just some kind of best of clips in his absence and carry on with the show as planned for this time slot. So our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. The chat is still going over at friendsoftom.com. You could tweet over at us at Twitter at best show for life. That's best show number 4 life. And I just wanted to share a quick tweet that someone had out here. It's from Liam Carroll wrote, "The best show got me through the most difficult time in my life 4 years ago. Now maybe we can do the same for Tom." And I just couldn't have said it any better myself. We're, just playing some of our favorite moments that have made us laugh over the years. And we hope to make you guys laugh tonight, too. This is, sort of a celebration of the show. The show is back here at Friends of, thebestshow.net, but the chat is going over at friendsoftom.com. So say hello if you want. This clip is one of my favorites. It is a classic Worcester call from back in February 10th of 2009. It's from a very exciting and troubling call from a pilot and hero, Chelsea Sully Sullenberger. So without further ado, here is that.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good.
I just wanted to second the Clifford love.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, too.
That is a great movie.
Do you remember the scene where Mary Steenburgen,
mm-hmm.
she accuses Charles Grodin of not liking kids? And,
yes.
And he goes, "I love kids. I have a nephew that I love." And she goes, "Really, what's his name?"
I can.
And I might have the name wrong, but he goes, "I want to say Rodney."
It's Mason.
Mason.
Yeah, he goes, "I want to say Mason." That is such
a
great
it.
Movie.
I love it. And when Martin Short goes, "He hates you. I don't know why." I love it.
I don't know why.
I don't know why. Hey, speaking of movies, what was the movie you were talking about that's the 3D movie?
Oh, it's called Coraline.
Can you spell that?
C-O-R-A.
Okay.
L-I-N-E.
Okay. And it's good?
I thought it was great.
Because I haven't seen a 3D movie since, gosh, the 70s maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Sound right? I don't know.
Well, this is a different kind of 3D than that, yeah.
Okay, wow.
This 3D is so, it's very different.
Wow.
It's like, it's really elaborate and it's not gimmicky 3D. It's
oh, nice.
Really nice.
Sounds like you gotta see it to believe it, I guess, right?
That sounds like a cliche, but you do have to see it to believe it.
Wow, I love it. Sounds like it's kind of like the footage of my plane going down.
What's that?
I said it's kind of like the footage of my plane going down. You gotta see it to believe it.
Of your plane going down.
Yeah.
What plane are you talking about?
Flight 1549.
What do you mean? That's the one that went in the Hudson.
Yeah.
That's your plane?
Yeah.
And who are you?
Sully.
This is Sully.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Keith Sullenberger. But call me Sully. Everyone calls me Sully.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
This is your name is Chesney?
Chesley.
Chesley. Sullenberger.
Yes.
Everybody calls you Sully, though.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this is exciting. You're really on quite the...
Stop.
Quite the media tour.
I know. No, it has been quite a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
60 Minutes the other day. The morning shows, Keys to Cities.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I mean, people call me a hero, but I was just doing my job, like mm-hmm. any pilot would.
Sure. Well, look, I cannot. I'm sure this is just one of the many times you've been told this. So, but I hope it's not too redundant at this point. But I. What you did was spectacular.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, like I said, I was just doing my job. I'm just so grateful that everybody got out,
mm-hmm.
except for my library book. I don't know if you heard about that.
I did not hear about
well,
that.
Well, it's kind of like a human interest story now. I actually had a library book on the plane,
mm-hmm.
and it got lost in the, in the water.
Okay.
And so I called up my library, and they waived the fee, and it, of course, AP kind of ran with that, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's interesting.
Well, no, but, I mean, it's nice to be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a little out of hand, I gotta say. It kind of mm-hmm. takes me back to a time, I don't know, I guess I don't really want to relive again.
Uh-huh.
But,
Like, what period are you talking about?
Well, if you've read anything about me, you know that I had a pretty interesting childhood, and it's not my first brush with fame.
So this whole thing is not your first...
No.
This is not your first brush with fame?
No.
You landing the plane into the Hudson?
No. Basically, long story short, I grew up in Denison, Texas.
Okay.
And I was kind of a scrapper, you know. I like to have fun, and I could get into trouble every now and then, you know. And basically, I was a troublemaker.
Okay, so you were kind of like a rambunctious.
Well,
kid.
I was a real bastardo.
A real bastardo.
Can I say that on the radio? Song?
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Okay.
That's a good enough one.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks, amigo.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do stuff like nothing too out of hand. You know, I stand outside a local movie house and I tell people in line how the movie ended,
uh-huh.
And then they'd leave.
Oh, so that's the kind of stuff you did back when you were a kid?
Yeah, I mean the theater owner, you know, hated me. Mm-hmm. wanted to kill me at one point, mm-hmm. So I tried to kill her.
Really?
Well, you know, as only a you know an 11-year-old can.
So how did you try to kill her?
Oh, pipe bomb.
What's that?
A little pipe bomb. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
I mean, it yeah.
Uh-huh. That is horrible.
Well, I used to steal, you know, just like little things from the Five and Dime.
Uh-huh.
Little gum and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I stole some trucks.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like little toy trucks and things?
No real ones.
So when you were...
I said I was a little bastardo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You well, it sounds like you were definitely a troublemaker.
I was. But then, you know, things took a really great and amazing turn for me.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing this ventriloquist act,
mm-hmm.
basically just for the guys in my gang, mm-hmm. the Little Creeps.
That was the name of your gang?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd used this doll that I stole from the local Woolworths.
Uh-huh.
And truth be told, my act was mainly X-rated fare.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys convinced me to do like a clean version of it at a local talent show.
Okay.
And so I said, okay, I'll try it out. You know, I'll bring Old Stinky to the talent show.
What was that?
Old Stinky.
And what? That's the name of your.
That was my dummy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He was an old miner.
Miner.
Yeah.
You mean like.
Like a 49er, like a prospector.
Okay.
Yeah. And I glued gray hair on him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I trimmed the hair off my granddad when he was asleep.
Uh-huh. Okay.
From down below.
Stop. I don't want to know anything about that, Sully.
So anyway, I did the talent show.
Uh-huh.
And I won.
Really?
Yeah. And then I ended up going on this local...
Well, how old are you at this point?
I'm 12 at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. So I go on this local variety show in Denison.
Mm-hmm.
Tim McMurtley's Cavalcade?
Tim, what was that?
McMurtley.
McMurtley.
Yeah.
And what was the other, I heard Cavalcade in there.
Cavalcade.
C-A-L-V-E? Oh, Cavalcade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was the name of the show you went on?
Yeah, it was like a half a farm show and half variety show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And next thing you know, me and Old Stinky are on a plane bound for New York City. And guess what?
What?
The Ed Sullivan Show.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know any of this.
It was amazing.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, my God. It was like nothing I'd ever experienced.
Just like being, you were starting to have some real success, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I mean, after being, you know, no bones about it, a little bastardo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now you're actually... putting together a little bit of a career.
Absolutely. So by this point, you know, it's January of 64.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I made my first appearance.
Okay.
And it just, I killed.
On the Ed Sullivan Show.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I totally connected with people. Just that experience of just the audience just being with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. And I came back two more times.
Okay.
And by this point, I'm like, I think I just turned 13.
Okay.
And I'm a star.
Yeah. Well, being on the Ed Sullivan Show, that's very impressive. At that point, in America, everybody watched the Ed Sullivan
Show. Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Look Magazine did like a 4-page feature on me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like as like the ventriloquist, like you being like a young ventriloquist
Yeah, I think it was called Old Stinky and the Boy.
Okay.
I think that's what
that was the name of the article?
Yeah. I mean, I could go into any toy store, and the owner would give me anything I wanted.
Really?
You're the boy who makes old Stinky talk. Have a Slinky.
So he'd just give you toys.
Yeah.
So you really did have a taste of some pretty legitimate fame.
Yeah, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't kind of take advantage of it, too.
Like how so?
Well, I started to get a big head, and I would, you know, I expected things. I would go into a store and just take stuff. Walk down the aisles, record stores, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Cars.
So you have a thing for taking vehicles.
Yeah. So that it kind of magnified that, and I was became even a bigger bastardo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was at the peak of your fame.
Well, it turned out to be. I didn't think it was going to be. So I had another appearance on Ed Sullivan in February.
Okay.
And it was the same night that the Beatles were on for the first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Well, it was nuts. You know, girls were screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really follow rock and roll that much. I was into country.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they were screaming for me and old Stinky.
Mm-hmm.
So I started walking around like I owned the joint.
Okay.
You know, just like kind of bossing people around. My dad was there.
Yeah.
And he was just going nuts with power at this point.
Uh-huh.
Yelling at people. He actually punched Ringo in the bottom.
Really?
Yeah, which is it's a weird place to punch somebody,
yeah.
isn't it? You know?
Because of, like, a power issue?
Well, he tried to get the Beatles bumped so I could do two bits.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that clearly didn't happen.
It didn't happen, yeah. And you know who did get bumped?
Who's that?
Me and old Stinky.
So you guys, you did not perform on that Ed Sullivan show?
No, we didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got asked back again
mm-hmm.
after what happened.
What was that? Was your father punching Ringo?
No. Well, he punched John in the butt also.
Okay.
Yeah, and he punched Paul in the ankle, which is even odder.
That is very
like,
weird.
You would kick somebody in the ankle, but you wouldn't punch him.
So he like bent down and punched people?
He like lunged, but like at a weird downward angle.
Uh-huh.
He ended up getting hurt worse than Paul did.
Than the people he punched.
Exactly. Yeah. So. No, actually, Old Stinky sent death threats to Ed Sullivan.
Uh-huh.
And the Beatles.
Old Stinky did.
Yeah, and all their fans.
Okay.
Somehow he got a list of all their fans.
Yeah, so your ventriloquist dummy was sending death threats.
Yeah,
That was not you doing that, maybe?
Oh, no. What?
Uh-huh.
No. But so anyway, after that, you know, I thought, okay, done with this.
Mm-hmm.
Limelight, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I put Old Stinky in the attic. And I kind of buckled down, you know. I got my pilot's license like 2 years later. Went to Purdue.
Uh-huh.
And then I became a fighter pilot in the Air Force.
So you kind of put the whole thing behind
absolutely.
You, the showbiz
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was just too much. You know, it was a lot to deal with.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you had a point when it runs out, it's time for you to get serious.
Oh, yeah. So I had a family, pretty normal life, you know, wife, two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, never in a million years I think I'd be in the limelight again.
Because of all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it's like that first press conference,
mm-hmm.
surrounded by press, mm-hmm. you know, the lights in your eyes.
Yeah.
And it was like I was that 12-year-old ventriloquist again.
Really? So you just felt kind of like you were thrown back into that moment of being a kid.
Weird deja vu. Everywhere I go, people are cheering for me.
Uh-huh.
I can get anything I want. Delis, you know, sporting events on the mm-hmm. street. People are cheering for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could honestly, I could have any woman I wanted.
Okay.
I don't do it.
Yeah, yeah. You said you were married with kids.
Well, yes, I could probably have any man that I wanted.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's not my scene. Though,
okay.
You know?
Well, that's fine.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's of course from Friends.
What's that?
That's from Friends, the TV show.
I actually think that's from Seinfeld.
What is?
That not that there's anything wrong with that?
Yeah.
Like that catchphrase?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from Seinfeld.
It's from Friends.
It's definitely not from Friends.
I will bet you all the money from my Wheaties endorsement.
You're doing a Wheaties endorsement?
Oh, yeah, ever since the guy got caught smoking, what was he, smoking cocaine?
Yeah, no, he was smoking weed. What, Michael Phelps?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think, he was smoking, like it was a crack pipe or something?
Wasn't it?
No, it was just a bong.
Oh.
He wasn't doing But, okay, since Wheaties kicked him off, they're putting you on?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what is the box going to be? A picture of you landing a plane in the Hudson?
No, it's me, and I'm holding a bowl of Wheaties, uh-huh. And I'm also holding, like, a little miniature, U.S. airplane.
Okay.
You know, and I'm just holding it in my hand, and I'm giving the thumbs up, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the box. That's what the Wheaties box is.
Yeah, and of course my autograph's on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, well, I will bet you whatever you want. That's definitely from Seinfeld.
Okay, well, we'll talk about this later, I guess. You know,
I will.
You know, that's only one of my issues right now.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
What? Like what? What else?
Well, it's hard to deal with this. You know, just the unexpected fame part mm-hmm. two. You know, it's been
sure.
it's been tough, and I'm having some friction with my family, mm-hmm. who I still totally love.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm in NYC today.
Yeah, because I saw you, I think, did you do Letterman?
I did today, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so family's a little bummed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why's that?
Well, I haven't been returning their calls for a couple days.
Really?
Just not feeling it.
You're not feeling what?
I don't know. You know, I'm
talking to your family.
Well, you know,
you're not feeling that.
I need my space right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in two different hotels.
What's that?
We're in two different hotels.
So you're staying in a different hotel from your family.
Yeah, yeah.
While you're in a strange city.
Not that strange. I'm at the W.
Uh huh.
It's great here.
And where are they?
It's on 17th. Where are they?
Yeah.
They're at some Holiday Inn and. Jersey somewhere, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, out
wow.
by the tunnel or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you really are just doing your own thing there in New York.
Need my space. You know, I'm just being Sully.
Uh-huh.
You know, for a few days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that. That's a little rough.
I know. Well, it's been rough stuff. You know, I've been overwhelmed by this stuff. I'm so overwhelmed by these offers, you know, for just, like I said, the Wheaties and stuff. I had to get an agent.
You got an agent?
Yeah.
Like, to help you field all these
exactly, yeah.
offers and whatnot?
Yeah, yeah.
And how is that going?
He's pretty good. He's good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's getting me some good stuff. His name's Rupert?
Rupert.
Yeah.
Okay. I know, I've heard that name before, like people who've had him as an agent.
He manages some rock bands, I think.
Yeah. I cannot remember.
I can't either.
Yeah. But I know he's a local agent who people who've called up have said they use.
Oh, yeah, he's good. You know, I was actually offered a guest appearance on Saturday Night Live.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And you mean like one of those little cameo things?
Well, yeah, it was going to be one of those weekend update
uh-huh.
things, you know, where okay. you come on and, you know, you say a line and everyone just cheers because they can't believe you're there, you know. They do it with, like, I've seen it with, like, Paul McCartney, I think, and Sting and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So it was going to be that, but... You know, Rupert told him I'd only do the show if I hosted.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, so that kind of went away?
No. I'm doing it.
You're doing what?
I'm hosting it in like 2 weeks.
You're going to host Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I was actually kind of mortified when he told me about it.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm not an actor. I haven't been in front of the cameras, you know, until now since 64.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to do it, but my daughter's... You know, and Matsuplex said I could do it no problem.
What's that?
My daughter's in Matsuplex and I could do it easily.
Matsuplex.
Yeah.
That is one of the guys on that show, Tool Academy.
You know him?
Yes, I see. That's is this complete tattooed creep.
Wait, what?
What? Well, why is he advising you?
Because he's my nephew. He's a real winner, that boy.
That's your nephew.
Yes.
Matsuplex.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny. I always thought Matsuplex would be the one member of my family who'd become world famous. I didn't
uh-huh.
think it would be me.
Uh-huh.
You know?
But it is you now.
Well, it's both of us, too. Uh-huh. It's him, too. I mean, he's got all kinds of big plans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got what's called a MySpace page.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they told me I could pick whatever musical guest I wanted for,
uh-huh.
for Saturday Night Live.
Sure.
And, well, I picked Neil Young.
Uh huh.
You know, because I think he's very relevant still.
Sure. Sure.
And there's a little connective tissue's probably the wrong word, but like a connection between he and I.
How so?
Come on.
I have no idea.
What's the title of maybe his best album?
Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere?
I don't even know what that is.
Russ Never Sleeps?
No. One of his best albums, come on.
After the Gold Rush?
No.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Think mid-80s.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about. You're talking about an album called Landing on Water.
That's right.
Yeah, that's definitely not one of his best albums.
Sure it is.
No, that is a horrible album.
Oh, well, maybe the ones on either side of him are just as good.
On either side of who?
Old Ways.
Uh-huh.
And I think there was one called Everybody's Rocking.
Yeah, like a rockabilly album.
Yeah,
did.
I like that one, too.
You like
those? You don't like any of those?
I'm not crazy about that period of Neil Young,
well,
no.
Geez, okay. Well, he was... okay, because now there's a whole thing in motion where he's going to do a live version of Landing on Water in its entirety on Broadway.
Really?
Guess who's going to narrate it?
Who?
Me.
How could I not guess
yeah.
that? So it's like a production of you and Neil Young?
And Matsuflex, yeah.
And of course, Matsuflex.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be on board.
Yeah.
And what is he going to do?
He's just going to be Matsuflex.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, that's what he does. He's
okay.
going to roll Matsuflex style. You know, who else is going to be involved in it?
Who's that?
Old Stinky.
Oh, the ventriloquist dummy.
He's back.
Oh, great.
Yeah. We're putting the old act back together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
The last, I guess, Old Stinky was in your life was what? When he was writing the death threats to...
Well, you can't prove it. He wasn't... Well, yeah.
And so you said you put him away after the death threats were written. And
yeah.
Now he's back.
He's back, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he didn't want me to get Neil Young to be on Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
He said I need to be more current.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is what the ventriloquist dummy said to you.
Oh, Stinky, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who did he want?
He wants someone called Deerhoof.
Deerhoof?
Yes.
Really?
What is that?
It's like an indie rock band.
Indian rock, okay.
You know, it's not indie.
Oh, like, no. Who was the band that did Indian Reservation? Is it like that? No, Indian
no.
Giver. That's the Fruit Gum Boys.
No, that was a 1910...
The Fruit Gum.
Company.
Company.
Yeah, and that was not... They were not American Indians.
You're right. I'm thinking of Gary Puckett and his Union Gaps.
Yeah, I think you... Yeah.
Okay.
Although I think it actually might be Paul Revere and the Raiders. So you mean Cherokee Nation?
That's it, Cherokee Pride.
Yeah,
yes.
that's.
I like that.
We're
so
all over.
Maybe
the
I'll get them to do it. I'm already locked into this Deerhoof cat. Yeah,
it's a band. It's not just
okay.
one person.
Well, anyway, Old Stinky tells me I got to get my own record out.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're going to start doing music now?
I dabbled, you know, in the 70s, you know. So I told him that I'd give it a shot, you know. I could maybe call up Bruce and Steve
uh-huh.
to see if they could help us out.
Hey, but, you Bruce?
Yeah.
You mean like Springsteen?
Yeah.
And who you said like Steven? You
yeah.
said Steve?
Miami Steve. Yeah.
Miami Steve.
Yeah.
I think he's little Steven now.
Who is? What's wrong with him? What happened to him?
No, he switched names, I think, in like 74.
Oh, I knew him as Miami Steve.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
You knew him?
Oh, yeah. Both of those guys.
You know Bruce Springsteen and Miami Steve.
I did, yeah. Oh,
uh-huh.
yeah. We're total buds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. See, I was stationed at Fort Davies
mm-hmm.
in Newbridge.
Okay.
In the early 70s.
All right.
You know, and around like 74 or 5 or so, I'd go down to Asbury.
Okay.
You know, and I'd hang out with the guys in the band, and I met him at a party one night, and we just totally hit it off.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. They used to call me Magic Rat.
Magic Rat.
Yeah.
Which I think is a character in one of the songs.
Yeah, Jungle Land.
Right. So you are the Magic Rat.
Yeah.
That's just one of the... Wow.
Yeah. There's that line, you know, Magic Rat... drove his sleek machine over the Jersey State line, and
uh-huh.
barefoot girl sitting on the hood of a Dodge drinking warm beer in the soft summer rain.
Uh-huh.
Rat pulls into town, rolls up his pants. Together they take a stab at romance. That all happened.
That's you.
That's me, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that is probably the ultimate piece of rock trivia now.
Oh, yeah.
That the guy who landed the plane in the Hudson was a character in a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of wild.
Yeah.
You know, it's even wilder.
What's that?
You know, the barefoot girl?
Uh-huh.
Her real name was Rhonda.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is really odd. She was a dead ringer for Katy Couric.
You mean like a young Katie Couric?
Exactly, yeah. And that's why in the 60 Minutes footage, I look just like, I look weird, I think. Like, because she looks so much like Rhonda that I was just like, whoa. You know, I didn't even know what I was saying half the time. You know, I mean, I'd seen Katie Couric on TV and thought she looked kind of like Rhonda. But up close, it was like I was back at the Drunken Barnacle, you know, doing the kind of things you'd only read about in Lovemakers Fortnightly back then.
Oh, I do not know that magazine.
Yeah.
So, well, love, okay.
Yeah. But anyway.
You were thrown by the fact that.
Absolutely. I was like, whoa, 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 you know, because I wanted it again.
Oh, God. But, that's horrible.
No, I, well, you know. Anyway, but, you know, so it's not going to happen because old Stinky says there's no way in hell he's going to let me work with Bruce.
Oh, so if I could just back up for a second.
Yeah.
The ventriloquist dummy.
Yes.
That you control. Right, ostensibly, is on your arm.
Right.
Yeah, he told you that you're not going to work with Bruce Springsteen.
Doesn't want me to do it, yeah.
Why is that?
Well, he said all I needed to do was listen to this song called Outlaw Pete, and I'd know all I needed to know. What is that?
I might actually have to agree with Old Stinky right now. It's a song off of his new album, which is not very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Okay.
Well.
Oh. Well, you know, also, Old Stinky says that the other reason I shouldn't work with Bruce is because I should still sue him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would you sue him over?
From the song that he stole from me.
What song did Bruce Springsteen steal from you?
Well, you know, back in those days, you know, we'd hang out at these parties and stuff, and, you know, everyone would sing at a party, and you know, we'd pass a bass around, and we'd sing, you know.
Yeah. Just passing the old bass guitar around the room. Right? Yeah. Just strumming away.
There were never guitars at parties back then. It was always a bass.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why.
Well, that is weird.
Yeah. So I'd sing this song that I was always working on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when the early in the morning factory whistle blows, man rises from bed and puts on his clothes. Man takes his lunch. Walks out in the morning light. It's the working, just the working life.
And that's a song that's a song that ended up on,
well, yeah, flash forward, I believe it was 78, and it's the hit single off his new album.
Well, that is not the hit single off of Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Sure it was.
The Factory?
Yeah.
That's one of the worst songs I've ever... No,
wait, what?
You wrote it. I didn't... That song is kind of dirgy, and the hit was... What was the hit again? Badlands?
I don't know. No, Factory was the hit.
It was... Okay, well...
They opened with it every night.
I don't know about that.
Oh.
That was not the hit off of... Darkness on it, but you wrote it.
Oh yeah,
and you feel like you got.
He stole it from me.
He stole it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you know, I'll get rich on my own.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
How's that?
Are you ready?
Sure.
Rupert is in negotiations for us to do a movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a movie of your life?
No, it's an action film.
Okay.
Yeah. It's me, Old Stinky, and Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson.
The Rock, he calls himself Dwayne "The Rock." I thought he just called himself Dwayne Johnson now.
Oh, yeah, that guy does just call himself Dwayne Johnson. This is another guy.
Hold on, like another guy.
Yeah.
What did you say his name was?
Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson.
Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson.
No!
What is it?
Dwayne.
Yeah.
"The Rock" Johnson.
The Rock?
Yeah, like The Rock.
Like D-A, like kind of cool, The Rock?
No, duh, as in like duh, stupid.
So there's it's a different actor.
Yeah. And himself, Rock is R-O-C-C.
Calling himself Dwayne Da Rock. D-U-H-R-O-C-C
yeah.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds... Well, that's kind of fraudulent, but anyway, so you and him are going to star in a movie?
Yeah.
What is the movie going
to
be?
There's no name yet, but they have to work in what he's, you know, what he's known for.
And what's that?
Well, he's an extreme slapper.
The Rock?
Yes, he's also like I think he's a champion belt whipper in China, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he got banned here.
Okay, some part of a belt whipping league?
Yes, and he's also known as America's most violent fireman. Yeah, he's really out there. He's, he likes to whip people with his hat. You know how they have those hats, you know, that are hard, like the hard fireman hat. He likes to beat people with those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then, like, you know how they have the hoses, you know, with the air comes into your mouth with? He whips people with those. He's also in a strangling league.
What? I've never heard of a strangling. There's, like, competitive strangling?
Oh, yeah. Why?
And how does that play out?
You know, I think it takes place not even in basements. I think it takes place in crawl spaces. Dank crawl spaces.
Uh-huh. And it's just guys fighting each other in a crawl space?
No, there's no fighting. It's just strangling. There are strict rules.
Well, that is... I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
You know what else is horrifying?
What's that, Sully?
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah. I just want to remind everybody, this is the guy who landed the plane into the Hudson. The hero.
Stop. Come on.
Okay. We'll go. What is horrifying?
I don't know. I just feel like I can feel myself flushing my life back down the toilet again.
How's that?
Well, basically all the stuff I've just mentioned.
Yeah?
You know, and...
You mean like doing all this movie stuff and wasting your time with all that stuff?
I don't, you know, someone's making me do it. Or something is making me do it.
What is it?
Old Stinky.
So this puppet is making you
do
this?
Not a puppet.
Uh-huh. What is it?
He's a dummy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's making you make these decisions?
Things I don't feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like he's, you know, Bruce is a year older than me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, old Stinky says, you know, Bruce looks 20 years younger than you.
Uh-huh.
You need massive plastic surgery?
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't. He says, yeah, you need jowl displacement.
This is the ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah. He also said I need a mustache transplant.
Mm-hmm. I think you might need to maybe take him off of your arm and then maybe go back to your family.
Well, he's not here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
although he did leave me a note
saying
that I need to go to this loft party with him in something called Williamsburg at 10.
Great.
And the note also says that one of the guys from... Migmit is DJing. Migmit.
MGMT?
Yes.
Okay, that's not good.
What is that?
That's a group.
Like a rock group?
Yeah, you might want to stay away from that that party.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah?
Hang on. I did. I did what you asked me to do. I'm sorry.
Who's that?
El Stinky's here.
Oh, he showed up now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And where was he before?
I don't know. Yes. The escort service said the women are going to be back here at 3 a.m. I'm sorry. I might have to go in a second.
Uh-huh.
Old Stinky. I'm sorry. Sir. Sir, I don't want to drink alcohol tonight, please. Please, I don't want to smoke hash either. I don't want to touch you there.
Oh, stop. Okay. Oh, man. Wow. Okay.
It is the best show with Tom Sharpling, and I am Jason Gore, and I'm here with AP Mike, Pat Byrne, Brendan McDonald, And if you're just tuning in, we're filling in tonight for Tom, who sadly can't be with us tonight, as his father passed away this weekend. He wanted us to do the show, keep the show going, play some best of clips from the first version of the show for the first 13 years. And we're also going to play some clips from the first three shows that you can hear right here on thebestshow.net. And so we're just picking our favorites tonight. Pat just picked that one. What did you say that was from? What date?
It's 09. It's February 10th.
February 10th, 2009. Sully Sullenberger call. And I'm just going to hop into it here with my favorite. Now, this is a clip that anytime anyone ever asks me, how do I get into the best show? Where do I start? This is one of the clips I always point them to. And Tom's impersonation, his impression of Billy Crystal is unmatched. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And here is Tom making fun of Billy Crystal doing his jazz man character.
Let's take a listen.
I grew up in New Orleans. I've lived in the Ninth Ward most of my trade cool life.
Oh, boy.
My father, he was in the Army. He was a trumpet player in the Army band, and he also played the bugle. He was a good bugle player. I mean, he could play that bugle. When he played taps, you knew that the cat that was dead meant something to somebody. I mean, he played it like it was the blues, or like, bop do dwee, bop do zow.
Mike just asked if he. What did you ask? Mike just asked if he had blackface on. No, it's called audio blackface. It's called it's like theater. When you hear it, it's just like theater of the mind. Just picture Billy Crystal without blackface, mind you, somehow managing to embody the spirit of not an old jazz man, and jazz man is always in quotes because it means black guy. Jazz man. He's not embodying the spirit of an old jazz man. He's embodying the spirit of the most racist person on earth. He is somehow, this could be like his audition for like Grand Wizard. This would be his campaign, video if he was running. This would be the thing they would show where it would be just like, I see a new vision for the Klan in 2006. Babu dwi, babu dwa, babu dwi, babu dwa, babu dwa.
So when I was old enough, I wanted to play the horn. You know, I went up to my dad and said, Pops, I want to be a musician. And he said to me, Lester, my boy, Face, come here. If you want to be a musician, play the clarinet, not the trumpet. I said, why, Pop? He said, hey, look at my lip. You see that little dent over my lip, and then you get all this callus and stuff, and I'm telling you, boy, the chicks don't like to kiss the trumpet players. So I took one look at that lip, and that's when I became a clarinet player. Can't you dig that? I knew that you could.
Ugh. Well, at least he's not going to say that anymore. He got that, can you dig that? I know that you could. I'm sure he won't go to that again. He worked it in once. I'll give him one time. He worked it in once.
So when World War II came bopping around and it got a little bit more interesting, they sent Pops to the South Pacific, not to play the horn, but to fight. I was 14 years old when he left, and I could play the licorice stick pretty good, so I got a job.
The licorice stick. Ugh. First of all, clarinet is a stupid instrument. Anybody who plays it is more... I'm not going to say everyone who plays a clarinet is an idiot. There's a good chance if you play clarinet, you're an idiot. Not everyone. Most.
I'm at the Barker Brothers Funeral Home to play in the band, you know, that marches down the street, leading the casket on its way to heaven. Can you dig that?
Okay, said it a second time. Let's count how many times he says, can you dig that? It's two. What's the over-under on this one for Can You Dig That? I say seven.
Now, during the war, the funeral business was sad but steady. I was 16 when I marched down the street when my dad come home from the war, leading his procession, the American flag draped on his coffin. My mother, my six brothers and sisters marching behind me as I strutted up the way, on our way to bring him to his sleeping place. And I think it's the only time that Taps was ever played on the clarinet. Can you dig that? I knew that you could.
Oh, there's three.
And there was a red painted house on the corner right before the cemetery. And every time I would strut by the street, right, I would see this beautiful girl, sweet looking dress on the porch, and she would smile at me. And I would smile back, because, you know, I ain't stupid, you know. Her name was Marjorie Green. Women smile.
You hear the people in the audience just coughing? Like, just like you hear people in the audience, just like, you can hear the rustling. People just wondering when this is going to stop.
Smiling at each other for over 15 years now. 15 years.
He flubbed the line.
I knew that you could.
There's four.
That was our house. We raised three kids in this house here.
He's also now gesturing to the set that's behind him, the Comic Relief set, which was very tastefully done. It was a demolished New Orleans street, which first of all was great for all the fun comedy everybody was doling out. You know, who wouldn't want to see Rita Rudner do her act in front of a demolished home, reconstructed home, by the way, not even a real home, just a. You know, the Comic Relief people. It's like hitting it a little too hard. We get it. You're trying to raise money for New Orleans. You didn't have to recreate the street.
We had a lot of laughs in this house. We made a lot of music in this house. My band would practice here. We'd jam here every day. You know, we'd just sit right here on the porch that used to be right over there. Yeah, and we
right over there. This is like the most offensive thing ever.
Did you play on the thing right over there?
What is that?
We just play, you know, Margie and I. We've been through a lot of storms in this house, a lot of storms. So when we heard about this angry woman named Katrina, we said,
yuck.
This angry woman named Katrina?
Who wrote this for him? He probably wrote this himself. Like, Robin, Whoopi, wait till you see what I wrote. And they're both like, that is terrible, but yeah, we're not much better.
That we would stay, even though I know how hard it is to deal with an angry woman. Can you dig that? I knew that you
That's could. Number five.
The wind started blowing real hard. You could feel the house, like, standing there fighting its ground. And then the rain come. The rain come hard and hard and harder. It was like being inside a Buddy Rich drum when he was beating on it. But the difference between God and Buddy Rich was Buddy knew when it was time to quit.
Ba-dum-bum.
It was shaking so loud you thought that the house was going to blow away and then you'd wake up and the little munchkin cats would be outside, you know? God, you dig that?
Oh, boy.
I knew that you could.
There you go, number
six. I looked
six.
Out the crack in the window, and I seen Edgar Clayton's Dodge Dart. Now, this Dodge Dart had been sitting on blocks in his yard for about 10 years, but now it comes sailing down the street. Water pushing it so fast. I said, Marjorie Green, get your old ass upstairs. We get up the stairs faster than we did on our honeymoon night. The water just tore into the house. Yeah. If I was praying it wasn't going to wash away, you know, because I like going to the other side of town. I just didn't want to do it in my house, you see. Can you dig that?
There we go. Took that long to get to the first actual joke. Congratulations, Billy. The 5-minute mark, and you finally constructed something that actually resembles a joke.
I knew that you could.
Number seven.
I grabbed whatever I could find. I grabbed this hat, my horn. And Marjorie Green.
Now, I should just make mention, Billy Crystal is doing that look on his face, the same look that he does for every old character he plays. Like, where he just kind of, like, pinches his face. And he's really just, I mean, the only way to say it is that he's actually, like, shuffling up on stage. I mean, it really, I'm amazed that Michael Richards is getting the amount of grief. Michael Richards, if he put an 800 number at the bottom of his rant, he'd be okay right now if he put the comic relief number. If he held up a card that had the toll-free number on it, nobody would be giving him any grief. If he just did it as a character.
That American flag that was on my pop's coffin. We made our way up to the window and I opened and looked out and just saw rooftops. And I took pop's flag and unwrapped the triangle that had been in all them years. You know, and it started waving out of the window, you see. And I seen Lamar Guidry in his bass boat coming down the street. And he's...
I don't know if I can play any more of this. We heard Lamar Guidry in his bass boat. Is this the worst thing I've ever played, Mike? Oh, we're not even halfway done.
And he sees the flag, and I don't know how, but I got Marjorie out the window into the water. And Lamar, he dives into the water, he gets into the boat, and then me wrapped in the flag, carrying my horn, because you never know when there's going to be a gig. We ended up at the Superdome. 30,000 other cats, and it wasn't even a game. It was a shame. No food, no water, no turlets.
No turlets. No turlets. No food, no water, no turlets. What are you, Archie Bunker? No turlets. No turlets. That's it. We're listening to the rest of this.
No help. This ain't America. How the hell could you forget about us? I mean, I can forget my keys, what I had for breakfast, but I can never forget a city. You can never forget its people. 5 days till the president got here. 5 days. Well, actually, it makes sense. I mean, Cheney took 2 days to tell us he shot his friend in the face, so what's another three? You know what I'm saying? Get your dig where I'm coming from?
Great. There you go. Nice. Look. This guy's actually getting me to feel bad for Bush. Cheap partisan jokes. Things a benefit. It took to shoot Cheney in the face. Bad Cheney joke. You know, Billy Crystal thought of that one back. When did that happen? March? That's probably the only reason they did this comic relief, was so that he could tell that stupid joke.
And Marjorie and I, we were put on a bus, sent to Houston, Texas. Now, I don't mind Houston. I played there many games. Years and years. But it's just not home. We got a small little place there that's kind of clean and okay. The only thing we have to decorate it is that American flag. But the way I feel now, I can't put it up. America forgot about us. You see, the folks in Washington, they don't think that all the displaced folks in the Gulf area is a bad thing.
How did he just say Washington?
It is that American flag. But the way I feel now, I can't put it up. America forgot about us. You see, the folks in Washington, they don't think that all the displaced folks in the Gulf area is a bad thing. They don't want all of us to come back to New Orleans because come voting time, just like the other day, those folks in Washington won't have a home either. Because when angry, righteous folks come together, that's a whole other kind of tidal wave. Can you dig that? I knew that you could.
Yay, let's all cheer at the election. We get it. Ugh. I can't play the rest of this. I'm starting to feel... I mean, I'm feeling bad for Bush now. It's like, how much more suffering do the people of New Orleans have to take? They got this guy heaping the final indignity on them. Some multimillionaire shuffling up on stage pretending to be some old black guy. I'm sorry, I mean to use the proper terminology, Afro-American, as Michael Richards said, proving that he, that Michael Richards apology. Holy guacamole. That was something else.
I miss my band. miss making music. See, when you got the blues and you can't play them, it's tough. Sometimes I just close my eyes and I'm out there on the porch. And we're all together again playing jazz, kids watching us. Marjorie Greene sitting right over there, tapping her foot, smiling. I want to go home, but there's no home to go home to. That's what makes it a tad difficile, as the French say.
Hold on.
Now listen,
I can't even. I'll be stopping every 15 seconds. A tad difficile. I got to hear that again. I don't know.
My foot, smiling. I want to go home, but there's no home to go home to. That's what makes it a tad difficile, as the French say. Now listen, I'm just an old clarinet man, you know. But I got an idea, Mr. Bush. Stop your war for one day. Give New Orleans the bread it costs to fight that one day and use it to rebuild us.
Yeah, great idea. Let's stop the war for one day.
That's all, one day. Maybe 2 days. That's it.
You can't stop a war for a day. We're not spending any money today. Sorry. Billy Crystal was doing this racist thing, and he told us to... We got to stop the war. This guy's got to eat over there. Just how about you end the war, you dope? Stop the war for a day. And then start it back up.
Stop the war. Stop blowing up Iraq and start building up New Orleans.
Would you blow up Billy Crystal's house?
I respect you, Mr. Bush. I do. Because you're the leader of the band. But damn, I don't think you really get it. See, you got a place to sleep that's yours. For a couple of years, anyway.
Oh.
Just think what it's like for us. Do you understand that, Mr. Bush?
No.
Do you? Do you know what it means?
Oh, here we go.
To miss New Orleans.
Hey, where's my suicide machine?
Each night and
okay,
day.
Okay, right in this vein right here, please.
I know I'm not wrong.
Hook the IV up.
The feeling's getting stronger. The longer I stay away. Mr. Moss-colored vines, the tall sugar pines, where mockingbirds come
to... Mockingbirds. Like this... Like they can't... A song of the South. They can't even do song of the... Like, Song of the South, rightfully, has been driven out of... circulation. It's only going to be available, I think, as a historical document next year. You got this guy up here on stage at a benefit. Talking about the turlet. And the mocking boys. How is he not being driven out of his mansion? Was he on Leno apologizing last night?
A classic Tom Sharpling deconstruction. That was a great clip. In case you just joined us, Tom's father passed away suddenly over the weekend. So we're pitching in at his request to keep the show spirit going tonight. I'm going to play a couple clips with my arch nemesis. Maybe this will, gain me a little favor from him. First is the Gary came in with a song that he wrote just for me.
Yeah! Number five! Number five! September 5, 30 days in the hole. I'm smoking. Their album, Smoking. Hey, Mike. Gary the Squirrel. What's up? How are you tonight? Why'd you come in here? What?
bag of stuff in here. What's up, Mike?
You need it?
Do I need what?
The big book.
The big what?
Big joke book.
I don't have a big joke book. What's new?
Okay.
Mike.
How are you, Gary?
Doing good.
I missed you last week.
I missed you. Look, you and me, we've had some bad times.
Yeah.
I think we just got off on the wrong foot.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think I've heard this before, too.
No jokes tonight. No,
no jokes.
Jokes. No right. jokes.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
My plans for 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some of my goals. I want to write a movie. Okay?
Okay.
Want to make a record.
Mm-hmm.
Think I could make a record, right?
Yeah.
You think so?
The Chipmunks did.
What's that supposed to mean? I've been working on one.
Uh-huh. Chipmunks made a movie, too.
Uh-huh. You don't believe me, do you? I've been working.
Mm-hmm. I've heard.
I've heard. You heard what?
I heard you were in the studio.
Was.
Yeah.
Made a record.
Uh-huh.
It's about you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Hey, AP Mike. I did it with a couple friends of mine.
Uh-huh. Anyone I know?
Your gentleman, Jesse.
Oh, okay.
Good pal of mine. Couple buddies. You know, gentleman Jesse, G.G. King, Adrian Barrera, Joey Plunkett, and Milton Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
The heartthrobs. Gary and the heartthrobs.
And Hey AP Mike is the single?
It's one of the songs we cut.
Or the B-side.
I don't know yet.
Uh-huh.
You don't believe me.
No, I believe you.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, I definitely...
Say please.
Please, please, let's hear it.
Seriously?
Yeah. This is the debut.
This is it. I want you to say, hey, everybody, this is Mike. This is the debut of Gary the Squirrel's hit record. Hey, AP Mike. A Gary and the Heartthrobs.
Hey, everybody. This is the debut single.
No, hey, everybody. It's me, AP Mike.
Hey, everybody. It's AP Mike.
No, it's me, AP Mike. And don't it die. You're too loud.
Hey, everybody. It's me, AP Mike. And here is the debut single, Hey, AP Mike, by Gary in the Heartthrobs.
That's pretty good. All right, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, we're ready. All right, Gary in the Heartthrobs! You guys ready?
Yeah!
Let's do it!
Very good.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it.
It's a hit.
I think it is.
Yippee, Mike.
Did you use auto-tune for those high notes?
No. You get popped by a squirrel. Gonna knock you out and leave you on the pavement.
Yeah.
And everyone will know
that's quite that an
you're
image.
The squirrel is the champ.
Yeah. My blood, my head bleeding on the pavement. I really like yeah. that image.
Knock you out.
That was a nice image.
You're as dumb as a box of rocks. You're so stupid, but that's really no shock.
Yeah, I heard it the first time.
Oh, you want to hear it again?
No.
You sure? The people want to hear it again!
The people want to hear it again.
Let's go to the phones!
I'm sure...
211! 219-9368!
I'm sure that won't be the last time we hear it.
You think?
I think.
What if I made a whole album of that?
Uh-huh.
That'd be fun stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, one song after another about me.
Yeah. No, not just about you.
About how dumb I am?
Man, some of the songs might be about you being dumb. You get it, Popeye and Squirrel.
Uh-huh.
There's Gentleman Jesse and his men. Back me up.
They did a great job. I'll give them that. I would have liked a little more of the backup singers.
We wrote it. It was a tune called Butterfingers that I rewrote with Jesse.
Uh-huh.
We co-wrote it.
Came out great.
Thank you.
I have to admit.
It's a tribute to you, Mike.
Yeah.
You're all right.
An unusual tribute at that.
What was the final thing I said in the song? Beep, beep. Beep.
I would have thought that would have been a single. That'll be the next song, Beat Feet.
What? What are you doing this summer? Anything cool?
No, I'm doing absolutely nothing right now.
Come on! You gotta do something!
Yeah, I'm trying.
Get out there!
I'm trying.
Go to the beach!
Go to the beach, yeah.
Right? Hey, Mike on the beach.
It's not my
it's
scene.
Another song.
Not my scene.
Beach weirdo.
Yeah, that's what I would be, a beach weirdo.
Remember when A.P. Mike was at the beach? Whoa, mm-hmm. The police were on.
Do you spend a lot of time at
beach
the beach?
Beach weirdo, here he comes with his ankle bracelet around his foot. Carrying a pack of cheap beer on the beach. Thoughts?
I don't know what that means.
You know what this means? Big feet!
Big feet.
We're done!
We're done, okay.
Get out!
All right.
Oh, Mike, by the way.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
For honoring you with that song. You're welcome for my tribute song. Say it. Scary the squirrel. Out!
So that night, you know, I was just thinking to myself in the Quick Check as I'm part of my ritual after the best show was I'd stop at Quick Check. This was when I was out of work and I was keeping odd hours. But I'm in the Quick Check after that show and I hear Spooky playing on the PA. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's an easy replacement. Spooky, Gary, you know, it just came to me in that Quick Check moment. And so, so I hustled into the studio with Andrew Loudon, and we did Spooky, which you will hear shortly. But where I really screwed up, I was so proud of my song that I sent it to Tom too early in the day. I couldn't even have 1 week to bask in the greatness of my song, Gary, because I sent it to Tom, and as soon as he got it, he jumped on it. And did the remix, you know. He's a very...
Gary did.
Well, Gary, all right, yeah. Well, we're doing that. Okay. So, yeah, I, Tom's competitive spirit came out, and I saw it up close and personal when I did that. And so I didn't even have 1 week to bask in the glory of Gary.
Mike! Hey, Mike. Mike.
Yeah.
Get in here. You Jones.
Every week.
Every week.
Every week.
Yeah, real hard life. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember I told you your song, I thought I was missing something?
Uh-huh.
Remember?
Yeah.
Well, I ran off, did a little tinkering. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Kind of spiced it up a bit.
Okay.
You want to hear it?
I want to hear it.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You sure?
I'm sure.
You're going to blow a gasket?
No, I'm not going to blow a gasket.
I'm not going to blow a gasket. Well, check it out. Here is what I did to your song.
In the middle of the best show, I hear somebody calling my name.
Hey, Mike! Hey, Mike!
Ever since it hasn't been the same. You say you're sorry, you got off on the wrong track. Next thing I know, there's a knife in my back. Friendship's kind of crazy with a two-faced little squirrel like you. You always keep me guessing. I never know what you are thinking. You call me dumb, say I'm cheap, bet my taste in movies is stinking. I get so mad, I start to see red. One of these days, I'm gonna twist off your head. Friendship's kinda crazy with a two-faced little squirrel like you.
Gary!
Hey, P-Mike is always giving me a hard time. I don't know why, maybe cause I'm prime time. You say you're gonna twist my head till I'm dead. Strong words from someone as relevant as rice and bread. My name's Gary, not a public lyric. Everyone in Bam has had to carry my comb from another night of drinking. Maybe that's why this rummy's always thinking that I'm after him. He's a paranoid creep and his caviar and ice not garbage that I eat. Drops a beat. And beep, beep. Friendship's kind of funny with a drunky cheapo dope like you. Think it ain't be Mike.
If you decide to stop this little game that you are playing, we could be friends. That's really all that I'm saying. I'll throw you garbage I know you'd like to eat, and I won't run you over when I see you humping in the street. Friendship's kinda crazy with a two-faced little squirrel like you.
What'd you think, Mike?
It's a nice remix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hip hop.
Uh-huh.
Freestyle.
Who'd you have do that on? Who helped you with that?
Daniel Ralston.
Oh, okay.
And Joe Grimaldi.
Okay.
I want to thank my friends.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Ralston.
Uh-huh.
You can follow him at Twitter at Daniel Ralston. Or Joe Grimaldi. Not sure what his name is on Twitter. But follow him. They hooked me up. What you think?
I think you did a great job.
Lively.
Yeah, it is.
It's contemporary.
But I gave you the template.
Yeah. And I spiced it up. We're a team.
Yeah, we are.
Look at that. You guys can get over your differences.
We can.
And make sweet, lively.
Sweet.
Like a cop movie.
Lively freestyle.
It's like a cop movie.
Yeah.
Lively music.
It's like a cop movie. Uh-huh. And Kurt.
What kind of cop movie is it like? Is it like 48 Hours or Beverly Hills Cop? This is the only two.
Lethal Weapon.
Ooh.
We've got an EP already. We've got three songs. Are we going to put it out there?
No.
No. You don't want to make money?
You should be on the web only.
Web only.
I'm working on an album. I got lined up guests.
I've got some talent that have been in touch with me.
Yeah, like who?
Well, I'm not going to name names.
Yeah, Ocean Eddie.
No.
Someone big?
Someone big.
Who?
A fan of the show.
Who?
He's not a fan of you, though.
Who, Fred Leo?
Not Fred Leo. Not Fred Leo.
Not a fan of me.
Not a fan of Gary.
This person does not exist. Everyone loves Gary.
They're out there.
They're out there. They don't like it. I blew up. Jealous slings and arrows. You won't hurt me. I keep it going. I'm like Kurt Bunk. 10:30 IFC. Fridays. Not gonna miss it. Eugene Merman. It's good stuff. It's good. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
What you gonna do Friday night at 10:30?
I'm gonna watch Bunk.
Where?
Or DVR.
You gonna watch it through the Best Buy window?
I'll tell
the guy to put it on before they lock up. And put the...
What?
You tell him to put it on the big screen TV in the window.
Yeah.
Before they lock up.
Uh-huh.
Tell him to put on the hearing stuff at the bottom of the text so you can read it.
Yeah, I could do that. Or I could ask Tommy the bartender at Masses to put it on.
Masses. Nice place.
It is.
Still wasn't fan. It was beneath me, and I'm a squirrel.
That's surprising. You would think it would be a treat for a squirrel to be in an establishment that they could get drinks and food at.
You'd think.
You think, because your normal life is eating trash and foraging for nuts.
Here we go. Yeah. See,
and then an apartment, you idiot.
What?
I have an apartment.
You have an apartment?
Yeah.
That's what he claims.
I live with Vance.
I don't believe him.
I don't believe him.
You ever see what a squirrel does when it gets loose in an apartment?
Goes crazy.
Yeah, it goes crazy. Yeah. We all know what squirrels do.
We all know.
Where's your apartment?
I'm not going to give it out over the radio.
Well, I mean, you can say the town. You can say the town, Gary. We're not going to go door to door in the town you name. Excuse me?
Highland Park.
Highland Park.
Yeah.
Well, the poor people of Highland Park have just been insulted.
What? Highland Park!
They're renting out apartments to animals.
I don't think he rents. I think he owns.
You think is it a condo?
No, it's not a condo. Daniel Ralston helped. Thanks to him. Uh-huh. Joe Grimaldi.
And Andrew Loudon was my guy.
Yeah.
You guys just kind of laid it on top of it.
Andrew Loudon. Great job, Andrew. Sorry you had to work with Mike. That singing style. He's like, he's the one of those old records of the celebrities at their worst. You sound like the Sebastian Cabot.
Yeah.
Doing Blowing in the Wind.
That's what I was going for. That was the bar I set. You know,
Vincent Low Price.
He wasn't a bad singer.
You sound like it was like on Thriller.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's AP Mike. Here's my new record. I'm going to talk. In the middle of the mission, in comes Gary the Squirrel. And it hasn't been the same. Meanwhile, I got mad flow going.
Yeah, you got mad flow.
Hey, Pete, Mike is always giving me a hard time. I'm mad because of prime time. Diving you up the wall. I got skills. Write movies, TV shows, rap. Who knows what I could do? Like Orson Welles up in here. Up in this piece. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Big feet.
Big feet.
Just to let you guys know, we are streaming right now from thebestshow.net, and Tom is not with us tonight. My name is Pat Byrne. I'm here with Jason Gore and AP Mike and Brendan McDonald. We're just playing some of our favorite clips from the 13-year run on WFMU. And we are actually going to play some clips from our first show back here at thebestshow.net. This was the first string of calls that Tom got from our new studio here. And we're going to go to that. I also wanted to let you guys know that the Best of the Best Show box set is available from numerogroup.com. And if you haven't pre-ordered that already, you guys should get on that. It's a great 16-CD box set. So many more calls than what we're playing tonight, and it's all there for you. So numerogroup.com, the Best of the Best Show. And, yeah, also just tell your friends that this show is back if you haven't already. TheBestShow.net. We have three episodes up, and yeah. So right now, here are the first string of calls ever on the new home of the best show from TheBestShow.net.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey Tom, it's Chris calling from Vancouver, Canada.
Chris,
how are you?
From Vancouver, BC.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. It's your guy. Your guy's up there.
What is?
Your guy, Nardwar.
Oh, Nardwar, yeah, the human serviette.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm a big Nardwar fan.
Yeah, you didn't catch up on my impression, though.
sorry about that. I'm very excited you're back on the air, Tom. My week is complete again.
Good.
That's my question for you was, we all know there's only 150 podcast slots. Obviously, yours is going to be taking one of those slots. I was wondering which podcast you think will be on the outs now.
Which one?
Yeah, you think more than one?
Oh, I'm gunning for all. My goal is that there'll be 10 podcasts standing.
Which ones do you think will be standing?
Mark Maron has a podcast. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah,
that
I've heard
be
of it.
Standing. The Julie Klausner one will still be standing. How was your week?
Yeah.
Jake Fugelnest used to have one, but he took himself out of the game. He'll be back.
He knew you were coming, so he just...
He ran. He ran. But all the other ones, everyone's fair game. Everyone's fair game. I've been doing this since Clinton was president, man. Been doing this show. Clinton was president when I started the best show. I'm back now. I'm back. Everybody's been playing with my ball, my football. That's my football everybody's been playing with. For 14 years, all people getting rich. They're getting rich on my football. I'm here to take my ball back.
Are you going to get rich now?
No. I'm just here to take it back. I'll blow the whole thing up. I'm just here to end it. I heard this thing. Speaking of a Mark Maron podcast, he had a. Do you know who Pauly Shore is?
Yeah, yeah. He's the son of Mitzi Shore, right?
Yeah, that's well. You know way too much about it. you're supposed to say, "Yo, the guy from Son-in-Law,
the Weasel guy,
guy." That was all you had to say about it. You didn't have to start going into the Pauly Shore, the graduate level Pauly Shore minutia. But Pauly
I'm
Shore.
I'm in the army now.
This guy's got a podcast now. This guy.
No, Paul, really?
Yeah. Huh, nah, he's got a... Yeah. And he explains on Mark's show, he's like, yeah, I talked to my manager and my agent. They just like he thought of doing a podcast is a good idea. Yeah, okay. So that's what's overrunning this field now. Is guys talking to their manager and their agent about whether they should do a podcast or not.
Yeah.
They're not doing it for this guy's not doing it for the love.
Pauly Shore. He's doing it because he's hoping to just get back and hope people care about him. He's trying to get back on TV again. Get back on MTV. But yeah, that's who's the guys like that have taken a pure thing and it's like a clogged toilet now. It's clogged with the Pauly Shores of the world.
Have you ever listened to his podcast?
No. I'm not going to listen to Pauly Shore's podcast.
Does that have a cool name?
I'd rather listen to my car not be able to start than listen to Pauly Shore's podcast. I'd rather be in my driveway listening to my car go, and deal with all of the ramifications of that than have to hear him his podcast. He's a bum. He's a bum. And the guys like that are clogging up the field now. I'm here.
Biodome was pretty good.
No, it wasn't.
I know it wasn't.
Yeah, enough with your Pauly Shore inside base.
I know an awful lot about Pauly Shore, I'm realizing here.
Yeah, you do. Inside wheeze ball.
All right, well, thanks for taking my call, Tom. I don't want to.
Okay, good. Well, don't. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Who's this?
This is Luke from Lexington. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. What's up, Luke?
Nothing. Pauly Shore was actually just down here in Kentucky doing a show at one of our comedy clubs.
Okay. What, was he doing a Chick-fil-A?
It's in the back. No, they're not open on Sundays, and he tweeted about his show last night, so it must have been at a Burger King.
No, that's where they would put them, is in a Chick-fil-A. Doesn't matter. They could have the doors open or closed. The same amount of people are going to turn up to watch this guy. Pauly Shore.
He's doing
a podcast now. Clogged toilet. It's a clogged toilet, man. Clogged by guys like Pauly Shore. Podcast. That's it. Used to be people did it because they loved it. Now it's Pauly Shore and this is cereal. I haven't heard cereal yet. Cereal. What is it, like a... I'm gonna kill you, or whatever. Like, what goes on cereal? I've not heard it. Is it just like...
I've not heard it either. Everyone,
yeah, Shay, I'm gonna kill you, Shay. What is it? Is it like... I don't know what it is. It's like... Is it like Haunted House or something?
Everyone that talks to me about it says it's like True Detective, but a podcast, which that sounds super engaging to me.
So it's like... Wait, a podcast of True Detective? I don't know about it. I don't know how intriguing that sounds.
Yeah, it you know, sounds a little...
The audio, listen to Matthew McConaughey, be like listening to Mike cracking the beer open. You've heard that already. You've heard True Detective as a podcast. It's when Mike is in the studio. Hear a beer get cracked open. It talks a lot about life. That's what it is. Mike's like a Bayonne version of Rust Cole. What else is going on? Nothing?
Nothing, man.
Okay, goodbye, then. So, cereal. Now, sudden that, you hear like, oh, did you hear about podcasts now? This cereal invented podcasts. What? You got this dude like Jesse Thorpe who does this show, Bullseye. This guy's been doing it since 2003, I think. He's doing podcasts. Now, suddenly, you got a podcaster invented a cereal. I really don't even know what cereal is. Is it? Is it like a haunted house or something? Like it's like. I swear I don't know what it's like. Who's in the haunted house? Should I listen to it? Maybe I should just listen to it. I'm in the haunted house. Am I gonna get you? Find out next week on Serial. Serial. Pauly Shore and I'd listen to it if they were chasing Pauly Shore on it. If Serial was somebody trying to run Pauly Shore over with a go-kart. Then I'd listen to Serial. Other than that, TBNT. That's thanks, but no thanks. Best Show, you're on the air. Oh, no, you're not. Jeepers creepers. Best Show, you're on the air.
Tom?
Yeah.
Good to talk to you for the first time. I'm kind of a latecomer with your show, and it's good to hear you back on the air. Hey, I noticed you were tweeting during the World Series.
Was I?
Yeah. Were you must have been watching. Obviously, you were kind of confused, dazed a little bit about the double play.
Who won the World Series this year?
Well, the Giants won.
The Giants. That's right. Okay.
So did you watch? I mean,
I don't remember.
What do you mean? You don't remember?
It's like 6 months ago.
Yeah. Well, you seemed to be interested in the game, and I thought, you know, I might be able to enlighten you if you needed to be.
Sure. Well, Pat, what was I getting wrong in my tweets about the World Series?
There was something about you thought there was a five. It was like a five-out play or something like that. And
well, there is a five-out play, isn't there?
Well, no.
There's not a five-out play that carries two outs over to the next inning?
No.
You're sure?
Pretty sure, man.
I thought there was. I guess I got that wrong. Because if you're in an inning with zero outs and you do the five-out play, the next inning you go up and you already have two outs against you.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but that's not how it works.
Well, what is there, just a four-out play?
No, it just goes up to three out. There's a triple play, double play, and, you know, and just one out.
But what carries over to the next inning, then?
Nothing, man. Just the score.
The score does?
The score and, you know.
What's the most runs you can score at any time? With any swing of the bat?
Well, that would be four.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can score four runs, but you can't score four outs.
Correct.
Isn't there like a spot, though, like a super spot or something, where if you hit the target, like a home run, like the buzzer goes off or something? Isn't there like a thing like that? I've seen that.
They've been talking about doing something like that in the All-Star game.
Uh-huh.
You know, to get people really interested in sticking targets out in the fields, but not in everyday baseball, no.
But isn't there a thing where, like, the guy slides into the mug of beer? What is that, then?
I don't know. Is that part of the beer pong, right?
Beer pong?
I don't know.
Well, I guess we neither of us know anything about baseball. So wait, seriously. Well, look, I'm looking right now. A guy in the Friends of Tom chat is saying that there is a six-run play.
You can score six runs, but you can't make any more than three outs is all that's necessary to.
Well, no, but the guy's saying if the bases are loaded and the game is tied beyond the 15th inning, there's a six. If you hit a grand slam, that's six runs.
Correct. I'm sorry. He's right. That's right. That's true.
Okay. Well, good. Then so you have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I have a pretty good idea. I've been a fan for quite a few years.
Okay. Well, then why did you tell me there was only four runs could be scored the most?
I spoke too soon.
Well, know your role, my friend. Know your role. And get off my phone.
Just a clip from the very first podcast, very first show back on thebestshow.net. You can get it as a podcast, Ballad of a Comeback Kid. You can subscribe to the podcast by going to thebestshow.net. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, whatever you want to do. Find it in any forum that you want to find it in. But we're just playing some clips tonight. Some of our favorites, and we're going to keep rolling through some of some clips from the very first show, Ballad of a Comeback Kid. This was the first Worcester call when he called in as Matthew Tompkins from Shout Media.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, is this the radio show host?
Yes, this is Tom, the host of The Best Show.
Hey, Todd, it's Matthew Tompkins from Shout Media.
Uh-huh.
Look, I read that piece on you in the New York Times last week.
Oh, really?
Congratulations, man. Sounds like things are really taking off for you in The Great Show.
Well, it's The Best Show. It's actually called The Best Show.
Oh, well, anyway, it's a real cool thing you got going on there. Really interesting stuff. I for one, think it's great that there's finally a podcast for young people about art.
What's that? About art?
Art, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
What? No, you talk about paintings, right? That's what the Times article said.
That I talk about paintings?
Yeah.
No. Did you even read the article?
Of course I did, Timmy.
Well, I mean, there was a photo with the article in the New York Times of me sitting with art.
Yeah.
That had been created by Best Show listeners.
Oh, okay. You know, I'll be honest. I just micro-skimmed the article.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm a very busy executive. I don't have time to read everything that comes across my desk. I mean, I barely have time to keep up with my fantasy football league, you know?
With your fantasy football league?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you said, but it's fantasy football.
No, not this one. This is a fantasy football league.
What is a fantasy football league?
Oh, you don't do this? Oh, it's great. It's a fantasy league where each player has a team comprised of the best fantasy football players out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a great team this year. So far, I've got Irv Melkin, and you're never going to believe this. I have Brian Rimpel, too.
Wait, those are what? Those are guys who play fantasy football?
They don't just play it. They're the best. They dominate.
So you
dip.
Wait, what did you call me?
A dip.
A dip. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard of fantasy football.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is fun. It sounds like a blast.
It's a real blast.
You have Rimpel. What was his name?
Brian Rimpel.
Brian. Wow.
You've never heard of Brian Rimpel?
No, I have never heard of Brian Rimpel.
You're going to get rimpled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right down there.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm losing it. I'm very frazzled right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm dealing with this big hacking thing.
The hacking thing. Wait, yeah. But you, this is, well, no, you said you're with the Shout, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because, I mean, Sony is the company that got hacked by, like North Korea or whoever did it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, no, well, Shout Media, we got hacked also. We got hacked by these disgruntled ne'er-do-wells in the South Korean government.
In the South Korean government, you got
yeah,
hacked.
We did. See, we greenlit this new movie called Korean Air Nut Rage Executive.
Whoa, what is that?
It's called Korean Air Nut Rage Executive. Have you followed this story?
About the Korean Air executive who got like nuts given to her on a flight.
Yes.
In a bag or something.
They were in a bag and they weren't on a plate.
Mm-hmm.
And she went off.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, so they had to turn the plane around and they went back and she got in big trouble and she had to do a deep bow. And then her father, who's the president, he had to do an even deeper bow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of deep bowing going on. Anyway, I guess the higher-ups there took offense, and they hacked into the Shout mainframe.
The higher-ups in South Korea?
Either at Korean Air or the South Korean government. I think it was the government. I think it goes that high. Anyway, whoever did it, they released all this very sensitive data about Shout.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, for example, how much money Trent L. Strauss got paid to direct Shout's first Quad X film, The Island of Dr. Moreau's.
Ugh. I did
spelled
not.
It's spelled Dr. D-R period.
Sure.
M-O-R-E, like the word more.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on this.
And then O's, you know, which...
Dope.
You know what that means.
Yeah, I do. Don't worry. I know exactly what you're... I got it the second you said it.
Oh, that's great. Well, that'd be great. That's great to know for marketing.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, when you say something is a Quad X movie, it kind of... Yeah. I was ready for something kind of dirty like that.
Oh, you like the dirty fair?
No, I knew you were going to say something dirty.
Oh.
The dirty fair.
Well, I don't know. It's good to know that there's someone out there in the media that is on our side.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They also released things like the number of times John Wesley Shipp has been hospitalized for going on flagrant whippings.
John Wesley Shipp, the actor.
Yeah, are you a fan?
Not really. There's a guy who calls the show who's a fan.
Oh, yeah, Spike.
Yes. Oh, you know him?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, Spike is now John Wesley Shipp's assistant.
Oh, I did not know that.
He's great.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, but these night whippings? It's crazy. John Wesley Shipp, he goes out late at night searching for whips.
Yeah.
And he whips the whips.
I
don't know why.
I don't understand. So he has a whip.
He has a whip.
And he goes out searching for whips.
Yep. He'll go. And like, where do you find whips? You find whips in, like, barns, right?
I guess so, yeah.
So he's out there, like, searching for horse barns.
So it's John Wesley Shipp.
Yeah.
And is he with his assistant, Spike?
Yeah.
At the time? So the two of them
are... I'm sorry, Spike. I didn't mean to get you in trouble.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's the... You got him in trouble. So he's going to get fired by John Wesley Shipp?
Depends how upset JWS is in any given moment, you know.
Is that a constant worry?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully Spike can hold on to his job.
I hope so too.
Yeah. So that came out in this hacking thing.
Yeah, and that's not even the worst of it. My stuff's out there too. These bastards even leaked how much I spent at the ski cappery last year.
What is the ski cappery?
Yeah, what, you're joking.
I have no idea what the ski cappery is.
Come on.
No, I've never heard of it.
You never heard of the ski cappery?
No, I have no idea what that is.
Well, it's a boutique out here in Weirdo Wood that sells only the best, most expensive knit hiding hats.
Knit hiding hats?
Yeah.
What is a knit hiding hat?
Are you... You are such a rube. I can't get over this.
A rube. I'm a rube.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like you're I can hear you like eating turnips or something.
Really?
Yeah, I can hear the turnip juice dripping down your chin.
Because I don't know what a knit hiding hat is.
Yeah. Okay, well anyway.
Please.
All the big shots out here in Hollywood wear these things.
Knit hiding hats. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's the perfect way to go incognito.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what better way to go unnoticed while shopping in Beverly Hills in the middle of July than to wear a big designer ski hat pulled halfway down your face, right?
You mean like it's like a cap?
Yeah.
Like a ski cap.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, but it's more than that, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how it's probably pricey, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, only the top tier can afford these things. Did you see all those FPs going into T-Swift's birthday tea the other night?
I did not.
Oh, yeah. Jutim was there. Crymart. Haystie.
Are these, like, new Jutim? I don't know. This sounds like...
If you could see me right now, you would see that my head is in my hands.
Uh-huh.
Just, I can't believe you.
I don't know who Jutim is or...
Justin Timberlake.
But you call him Jutim?
We all call him that out here.
I've never heard that.
Okay.
Haystie? Was that the name?
Yes.
Who is Haystie?
Harry Styles.
Oh, the guy from One Direction?
Exactly, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what was the other one?
Crymart.
Crime Mart. It sounds like a chain.
It sounds like a chain that sells tears, right?
Yes. Like, well, that's really.
It's pretty out there, right?
Yeah, it's really out.
That's like a Pink Floyd album.
Uh huh. Crime Mart.
Yeah.
Like Welcome to the Crime Mart.
Oh, I like this.
Uh huh.
Have you pitched this anywhere?
No. This is new. Crime Mart.
Okay. Let's put this on the back burner. All right. Uh-huh. It's Chris Martin.
Oh, the guy from Coldplay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So well, you know, almost every male FP out here,
mm-hmm.
they wear these things, you know, and
the knit hiding hats.
Yeah, and no one makes them better than Mr. Merle.
Uh huh. Who is Mr. Merle?
Mr. Merle.
Don't know who Mr. Merle is.
Merle Allen.
Merle Allen.
Yes.
The guy from the Murder Junkies.
What? No, Mr. Merle is a very chic designer from New Hampshire who now calls all of the from-the-forehead-up shots out here.
Mr. Okay, I think it's probably the same guy.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mr. Merle, he says what makes his knitwear so distinct is a very special ingredient that he refuses to actually reveal.
Uh-huh.
Nobody has any idea what it is.
Ugh.
Yeah. That's-
So you wear a knit hiding hat regularly?
Oh, yeah.
And do you, like, because you just want to walk around town wearing one?
Yeah, well, I've got a very thin T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
My very expensive jeans, and I've got the hat pulled up, almost over my face.
Sure. Yeah. And, it sounds really casual, and is it, like, because it's cold or something?
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. It's just a style thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I have seen guys wear it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great look.
Yeah, okay, well, I mean, if it's for you, it's for you. I don't think I could wear a knit hiding hat.
Well, obviously, yeah.
Sorry.
Look, I got way off track here, okay?
Uh-huh.
This hacking thing has really made my life a living Hades.
Okay.
So you can understand why I haven't been able to keep up on everything in the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why I guess I kind of missed some key points of your article there.
Sure. I mean, I can understand maybe if you're just blasting through all kinds of articles and things on the web and stuff you're trying to keep up with. But, I mean, your name's Matthew Tompkins, right?
Yeah,
I mean... You know you've called this show probably about 30 times over the last 13 or so years, right? You know that?
What? I have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait. This isn't that half-animal part party machine who had a show at a high school radio station, is it?
Well, no, it was... All right. It was a show that was on a non-commercial station... And now it's a show that we're doing on our own that's on the web. You can listen to it streaming live on the web.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really cool.
Cool. Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
It's very exciting. And I'm glad for your sake that you still have it.
Have what?
Come on. You don't have to play with me.
What?
The voice modulator.
I don't have a voice modulator.
You certainly do. Your voice sounds positively luxurious.
Uh-huh.
Are you washing it?
Washing what am I... I don't have one. What would I be washing?
Your voice.
Washing my voice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sam Elliott, he washes his voice with... fermented emu juice and coconut paste.
I don't know what emu juice.
Yeah.
Is that what it sounds like?
Kind of.
I don't even...
Yeah.
Even if it kind of is what it sounds like, that's too much.
But you can't argue with those results, right? That's a voice.
No, Sam Elliott does have a nice voice.
Yeah, you want to run your fingers through it.
Okay. Sure.
Anyway, Chip, you may have noticed that I said I'm from Shout Media, not just the Shout Network.
I did notice that, yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Are you ready?
Sure.
Are you strapped in?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your hiding hat on?
I don't, but I figuratively I do.
Okay, well, just put your helmet on then.
Okay.
Okay. I'm excited to announce that we have now branched out into the book world.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know what?
What?
You should write a book. Because I'll bet you probably have just as much to say as the Arcade Fire.
But you're putting out a book by the Arcade Fire?
No. We're putting out books by all of the Arcade Fire.
by all? But there's like seven... Is there like seven people in the Arcade Fire?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's nine.
No, okay.
Yeah, they just added two cellists.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you're putting out nine books by all nine members of the Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds okay. I mean, I guess if the people are there for it, I don't know what to say.
Right.
I mean, in terms of me doing a book, I mean, that's something I would like to do someday. I wouldn't mind writing a book.
Well, that's awesome. Let's give some thought to that, okay? Mm-hmm. And we'll put that on the back burner for a little bit. And let's direct our attention to who's America's next top DJ.
What is that?
Well, you know how everybody is a DJ now?
A DJ?
Yeah.
You mean like everybody DJs at parties and things like that?
Yeah, isn't it great? Everyone's doing it.
Uh-huh.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody is.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And I would love to get you on this show as a contestant.
On what was it called?
Pardon me?
The show is what? Who's America's?
It's called Who's America's Next Top DJ.
Uh-huh.
But I will warn you.
Yeah.
You'll have some very stiff competition. We found this guy named Darren Ploppleton. He goes by the DJ name DJ Ploptron 5000.
Plop, I know this guy. I know Darren.
You do?
Yeah.
From what?
What's that?
From
yeah,
what?
From I work with him.
Oh. Well, then you must know of his love of classic dance music, specifically obscure and now incredibly expensive 70s 12-inch disco singles, right?
I have, really, I have never heard him mention disco one time in all the years I've known him.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know, my man. That's your road to hoes, I guess.
Uh-huh. Ho.
What's that?
I think it's the road to hoes.
Yeah.
I think it's ho.
No, I think it's hoes. You hose it down because you don't like what's on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I think. Look,
it's like a spray wash.
Okay, I don't think it's a. I think we're on a different two different pages here, but I'll.
We must be. We must be. Well, let's back burner this too. Okay.
Uh huh. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I would love to get you on board something else. All right, you've thrown your hat into the film directing. Medium, right? Is that right?
I mean, I direct some videos and things like that.
Like some little rock things with your rock friends, right?
I mean, that's a simplification of it, but yeah, I guess I do things. I've directed things for my friends and people who I've just been a fan of, but I'm
like
not
friend rock, friend rock and fan rock.
Friend rock and fan. No, well, it's a little. Little belittling what you're saying, but
I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
No. Anyway, I would love to bring you on board to help us with 24 Hours to D'Angelo.
24 Hours to D'Angelo. What is that?
Yeah. Well, it's a new reality show where people who have never heard of D'Angelo have 24 hours to prove to the world that they're his biggest fan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the show actually started shooting yesterday. But we're unhappy with the work that Jason's been doing.
Jason. Who's Jason?
Yeah. Jason Walliner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. His work, his stuff is way too subtle. He didn't want to have any of the face slapping or wine throwing.
Okay.
Yeah. And we also had the same problems with Morrison and Reed. They got canned too.
Morrison and Reed. Is that Morrison? Is that Phil Morrison and Reed? Is that Peyton Reed?
Yeah, the directors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know those guys.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah. So they were on board this thing, and you had problems because they're.
I just had a great idea.
What?
Morrison and Reed. That sounds like a great idea for a period crime laugher.
Laugher.
All right, let me just quickly nutshell this. I'm doing this for me here. Hang on. All right, it's the late 60s.
Okay.
And these two young men are bumbling East Village cops by day and one half of alternative rock's Beatles by night.
And it's Morrison and Reed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you said the East Village?
Yeah.
That sounds kind of like you're talking about like the Velvet Underground, like Lou Reed and Sterling Morrison.
Yeah. Oh, great. You thought just because I wear the crispest, untucked shirts and the most expensive jeans being produced, uh-huh. You don't think I know about cool music, do you?
Well, I mean, Velvet Underground's not that hard to understand what that is, but sure, I might have not figured you for a fan of it.
I don't like this at all. You know what?
What?
I might just lens this D'Angelo semi-scripted True Lifer myself.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
Filming people running around trying to play catch-up and pretend that they're huge D'Angelo fans?
Wait, are people doing that?
A little bit.
Huh. Oh, wait.
Yeah?
Oh, rats, I got a text. I gotta go. I just got a text from Mr. Merle that my new hiding cap is ready.
Okay.
Look, let's talk again. I'm very sorry we didn't get to talk about your paintings, Rick.
Well, I'm not a painter, but okay. That's uh-huh.
Let's keep this dialogue open.
Uh-huh.
And I am so glad the Show of Champions is back, and I hope we talk soon, okay?
I mean, that's not the name of the show.
It's all right, cheers, Rick.
It's the best show. Oh, okay. And he's gone. Well, how about that? Now you know that the best show is truly underway when I've been insulted from a few different angles. That's when you know that we're doing the best show.
Well, I'm glad the Show of Champions is back as well. We're winding things down here. Sometimes people ask me about, you know, the callers. Do I know in advance how Tom will react to certain callers? No, I don't. You know, but if there's a good energy, you know, I think, you know, as in this next call you're going to hear, he may be my favorite caller of the new era. He's called in. He's sort of filled the void of Spike, who's yet to call in. He's very early. He's an eager beaver. He calls, you know, early in the music set, and he's willing to wait a good 20, 25 minutes, while the music's playing. And, he had an energy, and he usually had a topic which may not have been a lot of thought given to it. I believe he called in once about mittens versus gloves, you know, which there's not a lot there, but I thought maybe Tom could have fun with it, and he did. And this is actually what you're going to hear is the first Bad Company, I can't pronounce that word, of the new era. So enjoy.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Tom, it's Jason calling from Long Island City, Queens.
It's Jason from Long Island City, Queens. What's up, Jason?
All right, so Tom, I don't want to judge anyone based on how they commute. I think commuting is a very personal thing, but I commute by car to work every day, an hour each way. I drive on Woodhaven Boulevard in Queens, and people who drive Atlantic Avenue, Route 3, Jericho Turnpike, any non-interstate highway with intermittent stoplights and volume slowdowns, like, know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when a real piece of work cuts you off, you drive and you want to kind of like confront them. You want to see like what they're doing, what they look like.
and that code, sort of like breaking that common code, often leads to confrontations, things like that, maybe a pig eye, maybe a verbal interaction, not a good idea, of course. But what I've been experiencing lately is that there are people who drive up to you side by side with no confrontation, and you just stop for a moment and share a 90-degree head turn towards one another in which, almost on cue, you acknowledge each other's existence. My question, I'm wondering, is this something that's changing in the world?
What's that?
Is this something that's changing? Like, is something, like, actually, like, happening in the world that instead of just sort of, like, looking at each other as motorists, like, in a way where we're trying to kind of, like, prove a point, you know? Like show someone that they're not driving well. Instead, we're going to drive and stop together, turn our heads 90 degrees, and just acknowledge each other for a moment.
Uh-huh.
So, something deeper going on?
When's the last time this happened to you?
Today. It happened today.
And you were driving, what highway? The BQE?
Woodhaven Boulevard. It runs north-south through Queens. It's a pretty well-traveled boulevard. It's not a highway, but you stop at various lights. So you're gonna drive for about 5 minutes, stop at a stoplight. Then you're all over the place. You know, you're driving in and out of traffic. You know who these people are. You come out of the bumper sticker by the kind of cars you drive. It's why they call me
There it is. The seal has been broken on the show.
The very first Bad Company of the new Best Show.
Yeah.
That was it.
It was a moment.
I love the details.
No, he caller. Like I said, he's got an energy that's appealing to me.
How long does he typically wait every show?
Like usually 20 or more, you know. I think he's been the first caller a couple weeks. He's you know, enthusiastic, let's put it that way.
Well, we're near the end. I'm going to take a second to say thank you to everyone for listening and understanding about tonight's show. Once again, Tom's father passed away this weekend, which is why we've been playing clips, best of clips from the WFMU years, and some best of clips from the first three shows here. From the best shows return to thebestshow.net. If Tom's listening, you know, we're thinking about you. You're in our thoughts. We love you.
Yeah, Tom. You've got a great group of people supporting you, so I think you'll get through this difficult times. You know, it's hard. Every you know, I've lost family members, and it's difficult, and part of it is you feel very alone, that you're going through something on your own. But I think Tom has a good group of people around him, and so I think that will be very helpful to him.
Make sure you stay tuned to thebestshow.net for any information on the show.
At Best Show for Life is our Twitter.
Yep.
That's Best Show number 4 Life. Of course, you could follow Tom at Sharpling for further updates. And
also an Instagram.
Oh, that's right. We have an Instagram.
Yeah, Best Show for Life is our Instagram as well.
Number 4.
Yeah,
Life. And the Best Show's top 10 music moments, as rated by the Pitchfork.com, is up. You guys should check out that article. Stay tuned for more, you know, info. We'll keep it right here at thebestshow.net. And please tell your friends, tell anyone that doesn't know already that this show is back. That Tom is back, that we're in full swing of things here at thebestshow.net. So, stay tuned for more.
Thanks a lot, guys. Trying to teardrop. 20-year-old Frankie. He's married, he's got a kid. And he's working in a factory.
I want to get it. Do you want to meet it? I'm going to have it. Who's going to have it? Your lady needs to get it. You're going to give it. I need it in the morning. I need it in the evening. I got to get it when I'm on a picnic. And there it is. You know you want to give it up. You got to give it up.
Trip through It's a Small World pretending I was a UN interpreter. Good Lord.
Spring break. Spring break.
Edward G. Robinson to me was an enormous influence. I just loved the guy. First of all, he looked like all my relatives.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like a demented Santa Claus.
I don't, I know people could, blacks could feel, what he's, I'm not a racist, that's what's so insane about this. I don't, and yet, it's said, it comes through, it fires out of me, and even now in the passion and the, that's here as I confront myself.
Moonlight takes flight.
Puppy dogs.
I want to know if we got any people here tonight that like to get high. We got any people tonight that are
just occurs to me, I don't want to cut this record off, but Chris Dow can't get at me now because I don't have a record coming out, but he can re-review the record and give me a C-.
All right, well, for the sake of this conversation, let's say the book does not exist.
Keep trying, if you guys keep trying. Let's keep rocking and rolling, man.
No.
Today. One of you jive time turkeys put some ecstasy in it. And now I'm another social studies teacher out on the dance floor in a man diaper doing a cha-cha slide. Also, if you get shot with an arrow on this holiday, that is not Cupid. There's a hobo with a crossbow out in the parking lot. Think your teachers are students.
Replaced by two bucket seats and a brake lever, gear shift, and armrest between me and the girl I love best.
Tom Sharpling, who was the host of the program The Best Show on WFMU, people who are nostalgic for that show, we have a little clip.
Hey, how's that? It's Tom, yes?
Yeah.
Are we on?
We're good.
Well, I didn't ask you. I'm good. You know I'm good. Let's just get this nightmare
underway or over with? Where are we at? Under or over? Whose hair is this on the board? Did somebody bring a dog in here? Somebody shedding? The shaggy DA in here? Best show.
And what made it a phenomenon? I'm not sure that that clip convinced me.
Eyes on the prize. That is hilarious.
Why do you think Eagles are still so popular? Take it easy, witchy woman, peaceful, easy feeling, desperado, tequila sunrise, already gone, best of my love, one of these nights, lion eyes, take it to the limit, Hotel California, life in the fast lane, new kid in town, I can't tell you why, the long run, heartache tonight.
What's going on with your little Four Loko?
Little. Anybody uses the word little to describe anything is automatically,
Is automatically what, Tom? Is automatically what? What's going on with you're pimping out Four Loko? Why?
You're going at me, tough guy. Why don't you come down here? Where are you?
Do not come down here.
I've been in New York City before, pal.
What?
And I'll be in New York City again.
Yeah, why don't you
ask me if you want that?
All right, come on down. I'll beat you
really?
Into your life.
Yeah.
It prefers didn't.
Yeah, I'll knock
hey,
you around.
Hey, Julie.
Don't you talk to her. Don't you talk to her.
No, I can talk to her. She's fantastic. And you know what you are?
How drunk are you?
And she shouldn't be associating with you.
How drunk are you?
Pathetic. 90.
Yeah, you're pathetic. Pathetic.
What? Pathetic?
Yeah.
Why am I pathetic, man?
You're a sad loser. What's your name?
My name's Steve.
Could you sound more like a cliche of a drunk? My name is Steve.
Our teacher teachers are stalled us.
I've never prayed you before. I have no tongue for it. No one, not even you, will remember if we were good men or bad. Why we fought or why we died. No. All that matters is that two stood against many. That's what's important. Barbara pleases you, Crom. So grant me one request. Grant me revenge. And if you do not listen, then the hell with you.
You know, when I was in my 20s, I was, bird dogging chicks and getting loaded.
Right.
And these guys are talking about comic books and those collectibles.
Oh, Mike. We're back. That's back. You're back. I'm back. It's all back. Best Show's back. Philly Boy Roy's back. Everybody's back.
Denny saved every penny to buy a guitar for a ride. 3 jobs a day, took all his pay, and he went down the North Pole shop. Don said, Denny, if you buy this guitar, your son will be a rock and roll star. Ronnie tried his best, he couldn't pass the test, but he knew that he would someday. Ronnie's Billy Denny, she's got a baby that she had big bucks for a garage. Sucking on a jelly donut at the deli, you bet he's baby crap for a ride. Denny called Betty, said stay away from my son. Betty said, Denny, Roger, not finished, cause Rod is my number one. Betty's dad, Kenny, talked to Betty's mom, Jenny, and said, what can we do? Betty's daddy, Kenny, he called back Denny, and said that he and Rod are true. Denny knows that it's true, that it's gonna come true, that rock and roll dreams will come through.
that it will be true that God's good old dreams will come through. Listen, everybody, God's good old dreams will come through. The music is a master, can't you hear it calling you? The rock will bend you, the ball will save you if you're one of the chosen few. And then it will come true, the rock and roll dreams will come true. Buddy's got a buddy, he's got a buddy who works at the Five and Dime. His Uncle Ron runs a recording studio. Buddy showed up with a six-string friend and a head full of tunes. He laid down some tracks and a tape burned with rock and roll fire. Rob took the tape to Radio Rob, the biggest DJ in the land. Buckle Rob, that it rocks, Buckle Rob, get it on the air. Record store Ben said, I'll take 10 on 55-45. The very next night, the song hit the charts, straight in at number one. It took a lot of work, blood, sweat and tears, but Roddy's now a rock and roll star. He'll be the first to tell you that rock and roll dreams will come through. Listen, everybody, rock and roll dreams will come through. The music is a master, can't you hear it calling you? The rock will save you, the roll will save you if you're one of the chosen few. And then it will come true, the rock and roll dreams will come through. Listen, everybody, rock and roll dreams will come through. The music is the master, can't you hear it calling you? The rock will save you, the roll will save you if you're one of the chosen few. And then it will come true, the rock and roll dreams will come through.